it's not just a worthless suffering. There's a reason for it. There's a purpose to it. Like we saw the later, when there's a birth, so there's a the woman puts up with the pain because it's shaveh. The person has to find the shaveh. That's going to add another dimension to this, which is very yesodistic, probably one of the most important yesodists in the subject of Yisurim. And without this, it's really not shaykh to function. The whole sugi of Yisurim doesn't even, you can't even begin to start with it if you don't have this yesod in place. So he says like this, V'droim de'il amurim rak klape yehudi achayev v'mamin b'munuz omen v'tchias ha'meisim. This is only shaykh. The things we're talking about here is only shaykh to even begin to start working with this for somebody who has some musag of an olam haba v'tchias ha'meisim. Rak ha'she yehudi makye be'akorim aloh. Only when a person recognizes clearly, poshut, clearly, that this is a temporary world. Your life here is temporary. That life here is like being in the mother's womb. The child in his mother's womb is growing and developing and whatever in order to be able to be born into this world, not in order to be able to live in the womb forever. We're growing and developing and building, and whatever's happening to us is not for this world. It's for life in after Tchias HaMeisim. I don't want to get into what exactly Tchias HaMeisim, what Olam Haba is. A big sugi is in the Rishonim there. Whatever we mean by Tchias HaMeisim and Olam Haba, that's not my subject yet. Then you get born into a different world, a completely different world, a spiritual world. Person has a deep imuna, a deep sense of the temporariness of this world, the pruzda lifnaya, the attraction. This is the preparation hall before the big event. Person who lives with that imunah clearly, so then he's got koichas to deal with anything in this world. The problem is we don't really have a good tfisa and a good imunah on Tchias HaMeisim Olam Haba because there's a lot of resistance to that. Most people think they're going to be the exception to the rule and be the one person who got out of this place alive. It's the most obvious thing and it's the most posh thing. Everybody knows it. Nobody gets out of this place alive, and yet we all deep down think we're going to be the exception. So that's who we are. It's very hard to have this deep imuna and live with it, but that's the key. That's the key to being able to deal with Yisurim. I once interviewed, I remember in the radio many years ago in South Africa, Moshe Steinbuch used to live in South Africa. And so they interviewed him on the radio there, and they asked him about the Holocaust. So Rav Moshe said, to somebody who believes in Olam Haba, there are no questions. And for somebody who doesn't, there are no answers. That was the end of the story. If you understand there's Olam Haba, there's Tchias HaMeisim, there's Cheshbonos, there's things that come before, there's things that go after. So you have any questions? Questions on what? You don't have any facts to ask questions. You don't understand anything. And if you don't believe in Olam Haba, I can give you all the answers in the world. The law is Elacha, because really you have to understand that this world is temporary. This world is a place where we come to work and develop and build. But the real world, the real place will take place after the later. What we call death, that's the later. He understands that this world, this is not the real place. This is not life, real life. This is the preparation room. This is the hachana for the eternal world. He feels that everything that he's going through, enduring in this world, this is all part of the preparation and the work for the eternal world. And it's dafke the Yisurim that prepares him prepares him for his ultimate destination, which is eternal. He understands, therefore, that the Yisurim is not a sign that Hashem is distancing from him or angry with him. El Adarabah. This is an unbelievable drawing close and an expression of love. You should know in your mind, clearly, get it mamish clear. When a father chastises his son, he disciplines his son. Hashem Elokechem Yisorcho. That's Hashem cheats us. When a person has Yisurim, it's like a father chastising his son. Why does a father chastise his son? Because he's worked out that's the best thing for the son. That's what the son needs right now. It comes with deep love and a sense of closeness. Not an attempt to be merachek the child. We mentioned before that his mother gave birth to four children during the war under the kibush of the Nazim. While they were running around, mamash living like mice, hiding out in a whole year, sleeping there, they never knew where they were going to be. They kept running and moving, a terrible life. שנים לאחר מכאן שאלתי אז אם איך היה לכם את הכוח ואת העצומוי הנפש ללדת עוד ילדים? He asked his mother, obvious question, where did you get the strength, the resolve to continue having children in the middle of that existence? It's hard enough for a person to look after themselves, you're still bringing children into the world. Under the best circumstances today, it's hard to raise one child. You have, keep having children under those circumstances. You face death every moment of your life. Every day you are facing death. The fear. You had any proof, any indication that you would be saved? They were saved by untold miracles. How many families came out of the Holocaust intact? So his mother said like this. Yehudim anachnu, we Jews, ma'aminim anu b'tchias ha'meisim. We believe in tchias ha'meisim. Anu lo mafsidim yeladim, you don't lose a child. Yeled shelcha hu shelcha l'netzach. You have a child, he's your child forever. Netzach netzachim, eternal. That's how she got the strength to do what she was doing. Imunu pshuto, that this is a temporary world. We have to come here. This is where we earn Olam Haba. This is a very important world, by the way. This is not an attempt to lower the importance and the chashivas of this world. This world is a very important world. Very important. There's many, many things in this world that draw us very close to Hashem and enable us to fulfill our purpose. But at the end of the day, it's a temporary world. You don't want to get too attached to this world because this world's going. You understand that, and you understand that there's an eternal place afterwards where everything will come to fruition there. So then that's where she got the koch to do what she was doing from. Person understands this, he understands that this world is only a preparation for something else, for something eternal. And we don't understand what the correct preparation is. You know, the warm-up exercises, before you start doing exercises, you have to do warm-ups. That's what's going on here. We're being prepared for that world, so we don't know what that world is, and therefore we don't understand why this is preparation for that. It looks like cruelty. How about that? That's the imunah we have to have. Really, Hashem is the only one that really knows what's good for us. Only Hashem knows what prepares a person and what's going to give him the best eternal life. Therefore, that which he accepts upon himself with love, everything that Hashem gives him, because he understands that this is being done for my eternal good. He gets closer and closer to Hashem, yeah, in this world. You have to learn to do the things in this world that you're going to have there. This is the place to practice. you're going to have Avas Hashem in this world in order that you can have the real Ava there. You have to be the Simcha in this world so that you'll enjoy the Simcha of the next world. Somebody who doesn't know what pleasure is and doesn't know how to have a good time, he's not going to have a good time there. This is the place to get in touch with all those things you need to get in touch with that we know about, and also to accept the things you don't understand, we don't know about, knowing that if it's from Hashem, then it's good for us. That's what Hashem wants. This is what Hashem's asking you to give him now. That's what Hashem wants you to do. That's what he wants. Money, I said. And yet Yah was a woman, and yet Yah was a woman in that matzav who was. Like I've said many times here. Why does he want to eat? Because he wants to live. Why does he want to carry on living? Because deep down he understands there's a purpose to that life. You're right. When a person's in the middle of an Isoyan, you're right. We have to stop for a minute. You're right. When a person's in the middle of a Isoyan, a person's got a migraine. It's very hard to stop and think, okay, Hashem, I know I've got a migraine. It's good for me. I'm giving this migraine to you. That's what you want from me now. There's a modkashe. There you have to feel your pain, like we said yesterday. There you have to feel your pain. Person's in pain. He's in pain. Shleishi yom lebechi. Person has to sit and cry for 3 days. When he's sitting and crying for 3 days, he's not sitting, oh, yeah, gamzu l'tov, v'kol tov. No, he's feeling his pain and he's crying. For sure. That's what it means to be human. But there's a big difference between that person that all he's thinking about in the camps is the next, just to stay alive long enough to eat his next meal, and somebody who's doing the same thing but doesn't have the simuna. Somebody who's worked on this a long time, when the nisoyin comes in, he's able to deal with the nisoyin in a much better way. There were people in the Holocaust that weren't even thinking about the next meal. They just wanted to die. This year, all he could think about was just to eat. Why? Because he wanted to live. He wanted to live another day. So what for? Because he had a hope that he would get out one day. He had that. Maybe he wasn't able to conscious it and bring it to the surface, but you practice, like we've mentioned many times here. You practice. That when the bigger nisoyin comes, you're more ready to deal with it. It doesn't break you. It doesn't shatter you. Because at the back of your mind, you know, Zemi Hashem, I call it Tova Tov. Now I've got to get on and do what I have to do. I haven't got time for deep philosophical thoughts, but I'm going to hold on tight and I'm going to survive. That's what gives you the courage to hold on tight, even though you're not thinking about anything other than your next meal, is because deep down you have the simuna. We have to practice and get better and better at it. So when the nisoyin do come, you're able to deal with them in a more functional way. For sure. That's definitely it. But when a person's in the middle of a crunch, he's in the middle of a nisoyin, that's why it's a nisoyin. If every nisoyin you're able to just brush off with the imuna and everything's fine and you're laughing and you're just carrying on, so there wouldn't be any nisoyin. Or you're beyond nisoyinus. You got to a level beyond nisoyinus. I don't imagine for 1 minute it was easy for his mother. It didn't make it easy, but it gave her the emotional strength to carry on. That's what imuna does. The imuna in Hashem, the imuna in Tchias HaMeisim, those two need to work together. But 100%, when a person's in a crunch, how do you train a fighter pilot? You don't wake him up in the morning when there's a war and put him in a F-35 jet that costs $50 billion and tell him to go fly. It's too late then. When the enemy is shooting at you, it's too late to start training him how to fly a jet. But what you have to do is you have to take him very early on, stick him in a flight simulator, and drill it into him so that he starts functioning as an automatic. Day in, day out, he sits there and he pushes buttons, he's driving this flight, there, boom, and he's doing all these flight simulations and fight wars and blah, 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 blah. So that it's in his cells. When you wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you put him in a proper jet. When the enemy's attacking, he's ready to go. He doesn't have to wake up. He can do it in his sleep. That's the work of imuna. The work of imuna is to work on it and work on it and work on it and work on it until when you need it, really need it, so then it kicks in automatically. And it's happening to us all the time. Look back a year ago or 2 years ago, see where you're holding in imuna and betochen. And how this type of an assign would have dealt with, and look how you're dealing with it now. You'll see you're dealing with it better. And when you can deal with this level better, the Hashem will take you to the next level. Nobody stays in Kitta Aleph. When you master Kitta Aleph, they move you to Kitta Bet. For sure, the Nisoin gets harder, you know. You don't stay learning one apple plus one apple equals two apples for the rest of your life. You know, at some point you have to start learning A plus B equals C and weiter. But if you didn't learn about one apple plus one apple equals two apples, you'll never be able to deal with A plus B equals C. If you get the marshal, the bottom line here is a person knows that there's a destination, something that he's anticipating, something that he's waiting for that's good. The journey, no matter how hard and difficult it is, will be worthwhile. He'll be able to deal with it. Not that it'll be easy. It'll be hard and difficult and painful. But he'll deal with it. He could even be besimcha. I think I told you the moshul here, mentioned many times. If you don't want to hear it again, just stop me. Because I think we have mentioned it again, but it's a big chizuk. This guy that won the lottery in Australia, yeah? $50 million lottery. Anybody here that would move your emotions to know that you just won $50 million? That wouldn't touch you. No, just go, okay, fine, send it in the post. You know, I don't really need it. What would I do with $50 million anyway? You can keep it. No. It would sort of get some sort of nerve endings twitching a little bit if you heard you won $50 million, right? The only problem is he has to be in Sydney tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the evening to pick up the prize. Otherwise, it goes to the guy who got second. Those are the rules of the lottery, right? You have to come pick it up yourself. Now, what can he do? He's in New York. He's in New York and he has to get to Sydney by 9 o'clock tomorrow night. So what's the problem? Nothing. You go down to the airport and you book a flight. He gets there, they tell him, sir, all the flights that'll get you to Sydney tomorrow by 9 o'clock are all full. The earliest flight you can get onto will get you to Sydney the next day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You just lost $50 million. What's he do? He starts begging and kicking and doing whatever he can. Eventually takes out $10,000 and he gives it to the woman and says, get me on the plane. I don't care how. So he explained it to her well. She suddenly has an incentive also now to get him onto the plane. So she says, listen, I can get you onto the plane, but there are no seats available. You'll have to basically hang out in the toilet. That's where you're going to hang out. There's no seats. There's no food. You get on the plane and you'll have to miss the day there. You can't walk around. You have to sit somewhere. So you'll have to just, okay, fine. So that's what he does. Now, in first class, there's sitting a man there in first class. Comfortable, beautiful seats. They're bringing him whiskey and good food all the time, and they're treating him like a king. Yeah. So if you look at this from outside, you see the guy in first class. You see this guy sitting in the toilet. Every time someone needs the bathroom, he has to get up. He's got to go. It's not a pleasant thing to be on a flight where you can't sit anywhere. Yeah, it's not okay. It's a long flight from New York to Sydney, whatever it is. He's having a real rough time. And the guy in first class, king. And if you would choose, who would you want to be? You would want to be the guy sitting in first class, right? The only problem is you don't know the story behind the two stories. The guy sitting in the bathroom back there in economy class is the happiest man on the plane. You'd ask him, aren't you uncomfortable? Isn't it terrible? Isn't it? So, yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's not pleasant. I'm being paid $50 million to sit on this plane for 15 hours like this. For sure. Who wouldn't do it? Over up in first class is this rich, wealthy guy, okay, whose wife's not interested in him. His kids don't want to know who he is. No one wants to talk to him. He's a grumpy old man, bitter, grumpy old man. Nobody's interested. No one's got time for him or whatever. So what does he do? He books a first class ticket, gets on the plane. And when you're on the plane in first class, I don't remember being there, but I assume they treat you very nicely. People talk to you. They offer you things. They speak to you. They treat you with cover. Very mechubad. So for 15 hours, he has a bit of a nice time. People don't ask him and treat him nasty. Then he gets off the plane in Sydney and he's back to being a Gornish. Nobody's interested in him anymore. And then he gets back on another first class flight just to feel a little bit good about himself. Yeah. So he's got no destination. He's arriving in Sydney. He wants the plane to just carry on flying because Paul's money's on the plane. He feels like a king. The minute he gets off the plane, he's got nothing. He's back to being a nobody. The guy in the bathroom at the back of the plane, he wants his flight to stop because waiting in Sydney for him is $50 million. That's us. How are you going through this world? Like the guy in the bathroom at the back or the guy in first class? We're going somewhere. We're on this flight, and this flight's not so pleasant. There's lots of not so nice things on this flight. Lots of beautiful, unbelievable. Hashem gives us and wonderful things he gives us in this world. In this world, we're very rich. There's unbelievable all the time, gewaldike schmuck, wonderful things in this world. But it's filled with yesurim. But we know when the plane lands, we know that there's a lot waiting for us. Or do you want to go through this world like a grumpy old man, just enjoying all the pleasures of this world because, when the flight stops, you've got nothing waiting for you afterwards. Well, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. I mean, get whatever pleasure you can now, because when you die, that's it, it's over. Worms. No. Because we have to go through this world, besimcha, and enjoy the pleasures. Hashem gave us untold pleasures in this world while he asked us to work for him. And you have to enjoy those pleasures. If you don't, you're also chayv. But at the same time, we have to know that this is not, there's something, you know, when the plane lands, wow, there's unbelievable things waiting for us when the plane lands. So I'll be a bit uncomfortable now. What's the problem? That's why without the understanding of Tchias HaMaisim, to go through this world and to go through all the suffering, it's going to be very hard because it doesn't make any sense because there's no playlist to it. You understand that this is the preparation, then there's an enormous sense of it. They're shaveh. Adam Achai believe Pnimes at Vorim Alolu, Loilum Loyagish is Atzmoy Meducho, Miyoish Mustukal. Person who lives with this understanding will never be depressed or miyoish. He'll never just say, well, there's nothing to give up. Sheye Matsova, Sheye, Beruchnis Ubagashmias, Hare Sof Sof Uchai. Whatever his matzav is, whether it's in Ruchnis or Gashmias, it doesn't matter. He's alive. He's alive. Tukahu Yochshoy. A feeling biyachas laatzmi, ainli tam b'chaim. Even clapping me, I don't really have time for chaim. I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to be in this particular situation. Aval, akolish bochu tzarecho tichaim. But the proof, the evidence on the ground, is that Hashem wants me yet to be alive. That's for sure. Hashem wants me to be here alive. No, if he didn't, I wouldn't be here. So the fact that I'm here alive means my life is giving Hashem, Hashem's getting enormous pleasure from me being alive. Hashem woke up this morning and gave me a neshama. It means he wants me to be here. And he guards it within me. There's a purpose to my being here, that's for sure. Even though I can't understand it, I don't grasp what I'm doing here, why I need to be here, what Hashem gets from me, but he's getting something big, otherwise he wouldn't bother. You gave me the neshama, and you created it, and you formed it, and you blew it into me, and you're keeping it in me. Let's just think and see what's going on in this rocket. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into me a neshama, tohira, that's carved out of Tachas Kisei HaKovet. Now, we don't know what the Kisei HaKovet is, but it's up there, very, very far away, very big, very, in Ruchnistic terms, I mean, far away. It's wow, wow, elevated. It's the thing that Hashem Kviyachol sits on, whatever that means, okay? And the Neshama comes from there. It's carved out from that space called the Kisei HaKovet, whatever that is. Whatever it is, it's something ma'od, ma'od, yeah. So then Hashem created that Neshama Yesh Me'ayin, and he keeps it within me. He's making sure that I'm continuing to function with this Neshama, yeah? There's a purpose. There's a reason for me to be alive. Otherwise, why would you have gone to all the trouble? I don't understand. I know that there's going to come a time where you're going to take away that neshama from me, and then you're going to give it back to me, leosid lovo. Klaima. I know that the Ikka life isn't here now. That's not the Ikka life. It is, by the way. This world is the Ikka life because it's all you have right now. And what you do in this world is critically important because you only have a limited amount of time in this world to pick up all the diamonds that you can pick up. Yeah? Every minute you're alive, you have diamonds to pick up. So it is very critically important, this world. But as a means, not as an end. The real life is going to be when I get back home with all the diamonds that I picked up down here on this deserted island somewhere. Therefore, it's obvious that you set up the best situation, the best life for me, that will enable me to get home with the best goodies. Kolzman that the neshama is in me and I'm alive, moide ani, toiv lehoides l'Hashem. The tachlis of a person in this world is lehoides l'Hashem. V'kol rega shata noisen li l'chreis ani moide l'cho, v'yudua ki ata riboin koil ha-maasim adon kol ha-neshamois, ata v'rach ata meivin ma toiv avuri. You thank Hashem for everything. Moide ani l'fanecha. Why? Because I understand that everything that's happening is for the good. Like we said yesterday, Yemoed al-Ava, V'tzak al-Asit. Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMachazin, Neshmores, Neshamois, Livgori Meis. That's the bracha we make every morning. We don't even think about it. We don't even remember if we said it. We sort of spit it out of habit. I mean, if you can say that bracha with some celebration, just that bracha, just say it with the kavana, yeah, add your own kavanas, add your own, wow, look at this, look at my neshama, unbelievable. Your life would look different. My life would look different. You're saying the bracha while making coffee, you know, that's kind of usually what happens in the morning. You're running to shul, you want to have a coffee. So while you're making the coffee, you're saying a lakai neshama. And then you can't remember, did you say it? Didn't you say it? Even though right now I don't find any real reason to live, like the man in Auschwitz, the Shmuel mentioned, all he could think about was just the next loaf of bread. He just wanted to eat. That's all he could think about. This is not the eternal world. This is the preparation place for the ultimate day. Yom Shikulu Toiv. When a person makes this bracha, b'kavona haroi, Rabbi Yisrael, I just added another half an hour to your davening. So I don't know how you're going to deal with that. Aval haroi, he loy kizrikas chisun, the kore yusurim shiva olav b'yoyim zeh. You want to know what the real chisun is? You want a chisun? Only problem is you have to take it every day. It's not like one and then 3 weeks later, another one, and in 2 weeks you fart. Now this you have to take every day. The chisun shechayv lekachat kol yom is no side effects, by the way. No bad side effects. This chisun is kulu toiv. You say this every day properly. It's a chisun against all the Yisrim that come upon a person. Yodeyehu shekol mikre sheikra lo ayoyim, akol hu letovos anitzchis. Everything that happens to you today, that's ultimately for the best thing for you, for your eternal existence. That's the best chisun you can have. You say Elokai Neshama properly in the morning. And then before that, you already said Asheyotza properly. That's another sugya. Celebrate the guf that Hashem's giving you. The broch of Asheyotza is from Kisei HaKovod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, playing the Kisei HaKovod, worrying about your guf. The guf's nifla. You meditate on your guf? Wow. It's just an untold genius. You can go out of your mind with pleasure just thinking about how your body works. The body, forget the neshama. And then the neshama, by the time you get to the kind of neshama, wow. But that's the vort. This is a temporary world. You have to make the best of it. That's for sure. The simcha with all the, it's an unbelievable opportunity. The person on the plane to Australia, he's on that flight. He's not miserable and grumpy until he lives in Sydney. He's going through pain. It's uncomfortable. It's difficult. It's irritating. It's very hard. He's exhausted, whatever. He can't sleep. But he's besimcha. Why? Because he knows where he's going. That's Chesa Meisim. The Munan Chesa Meisim gives you the destination. You know that the suffering's worthwhile because, wow, look at the payday. Tov, we should be zeiche to have these, be able to internalize at least some of these ideas with Zrat Hashem. Tov, tomorrow, Thursday, yeah, okay, tomorrow, Ragil with Zrat Hashem. Have a good day.